This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Take only photographs, leave only footprints. That's the dominant message of environmentalists, conservationists, and naturalists when it comes to educating people about the planet. But if you want kids to learn about the planet, they're going to have to get their hands dirty. That's the philosophy of environmental educator David Sobel. He's senior faculty member at Antioch University, New England, and author of the book Beyond Ecophobia. He wrote a recent article called Look, Don't Touch, and it was featured in the latest edition of Orion Magazine. David, we welcome you to Word of Mouth.
Wonderful to be here.
Really great to have you in a really interesting article, reading about the sort of dominant theory, I guess, of environmental education. You say it's kind of lost its magic, the magic of wildly, gladly rejoicing together, and it's been replaced by a kind of museum mentality. What does that mean?
Yeah, I love that quote. It's from John Muir, and John Muir is a great prototype for what we should be doing in environmental education. He had one of those kind of engaged natural world childhoods where he explored and got dirty and went on adventures. And, environmental education used to have that kind of a flavor to it, and progressively it's become a little bit more puritanical, and it's lost some of its magic.
How so puritanical?
Puritanical, there's a great blog I was reading from a dad who does a lot of outdoor stuff with his kids, and he watched a group of kids and in a summer camp program, and one of the kids picked up a branch, and one of the leaders said, "Put down the branch. We don't play with nature." And so that's what I mean by puritanical. It's that discouragement of picking up and feeling and turning things over, that kind of thing. We've got this notion that it's fine to look, but it's not okay to touch.
And even this sense of danger, you write about discouraging kids from leaving the path when going on nature walks. But isn't there a legitimate worry about things like, for example, I'm thinking the increasing incidence of tick-borne Lyme disease here in New England?
It's certainly something we've got to get used to, and we've got to get everybody familiar with understanding what ticks look like and how they behave and where they live and how to avoid them. But to completely eliminate any possibility of interactions between kids and ticks is probably impossible. So we should be training them to understand how they behave and how to deal with them rather than being overwhelmed by fear of them.
You know, it may be generational. Of course, I'm one of those kids who grew up, you know, climbing trees and getting stuck in them was kind of a rite of passage. So was fort building, which I read now is against the law in some places because of potential harm to the natural landscape. How has policy and fear of litigation contributed to this problem?
Litigation is a big issue, and it becomes the rationale for forbidding most everything. So on lots of school playgrounds now, you know, running is not allowed because running's too dangerous. So it's become a big problem, and it's overwhelmed our sense of what appropriate risk is as opposed to any risk. So we're trying to eliminate risk as opposed to understanding that some risk, managed risk, is a good thing.
Well, you're a father of three kids, I think.
Two.
How did your philosophy around hands-on teaching inform your own philosophy on parenting?
I quelled my fears a lot. So it's normal for all parents to have fears about kids being off in the woods by themselves or walking down the road by themselves. But you have to understand that that's part and parcel of them learning to orient and make their way in the world, and that you've got to manage risk rather than eliminate risk. So when my kids would go off by themselves, I would feel this kind of sense of anxiety, and I would manage it and say, no, this is a good thing. I'm going to allow this because the benefits outweigh the risks.
This isn't just experiential for you, David Sobel. Also, you quote some research about how people become stewards of the land. What are some commonalities that you discovered and researchers discovered about kids and the environment?
Yeah, this is a really interesting thing that's emerged over the last 10 or 20 years where you try and look longitudinally at people that behave in environmentally responsible ways as adults and what their childhood experiences were. And the recurrent theme is that people who as children had access to wild nature play. That doesn't mean irreverent nature play, but means, play by themselves in natural settings. Or they hunted and they fished with their parents as kids, or they collected blueberries, or they made forts, or those kinds of things. Those kids that had those kinds of experiences are more likely to grow up to be adults with environmental values and behaviors. And so as we discourage free play in the natural world, we then potentially diminish the likelihood that people are going to grow up to be environmentally responsible.
They had access to pastures, so to speak.
Access to pastures, and they played in hay barns, and, they hunted and gathered.
Now, you write about, although there are many nature programs that may dissuade kids and, show them slides of flowers rather than the nature walks, there are some educators and some centers, like one in New Hampshire, that you think are doing it right. What are they doing right?
Yeah, and I'll put in a plug for the Harris Center for Conservation Education, which has always been one of my favorite conservation organizations. They recognize that mucking about and getting your feet wet and building forts, they have a specific after-school program for fort building. They understand that that leads to the development of conservation values. And they also do wonderful programs in elementary schools and high schools where they're doing the kinds of science that your previous folks that made comments about science teachers, they're doing that kind of science that gets kids involved in real inquiries.
Well, David Sobel, I want to thank you for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
A little glimpse of nature there and getting your hands dirty in it from David Sobel. He's on the senior faculty at Antioch University, New England. He's also the author of the book Beyond Ecophobia. You can link to his article from Orion Magazine. It's called Look, Don't Touch. And we do have a link at wordofmouthradio.org.